I started about 9 years ago when he had a very bad fall and he was diagnosed with terminal prostate cancer. And I realised then at that time there was no one in the family who was capable of looking after him. And we thought he'd only have a short time to live, so I felt it was my responsibility to come up and give him as much quality time as I could. But he went into remission, and 8.5 years later was still here. He's in a very, very bad way still, with every type of condition you can think of, which means he's very, very disabled. And although we have carers for him, I'm his main carer.
So you work here, obviously, full time, and then you have to go and see your dad. How many hours do you think you do in a week?
That's difficult to say, because even through the course of a night, although I might be sleeping, my father screams out quite a lot in the night, so I'm never really going to sleep. If he screams in particular tones, I run downstairs to make sure he's okay. Other times I might ignore it, knowing that particular tone of voice, like with a baby, you get to know their screams, that is just twisted the wrong way. But it means you're never actually not off the job. So in the mornings I get up extra early to get all of his breakfast for him. I cycle home at lunchtime to get his dinner for him. In the evening come back again, do all of that, all of the shopping, all of the cleaning. We do have a cleaner in now, which does help. But again, I have to look after everything else, including the gardening. So it's a pretty full-on job, really.
How does it make you feel?
To be honest, after 9 years, you're pretty burnt out. And I know that any carer in the same position gets to a point where you think, how long is this going to go on for? Because you really are struggling. And not knowing how to get help, not even recognising that you're a carer for so long, I didn't see myself as a carer until someone said to me, do you realise the amount of unpaid time you're putting into this? You are a carer. And I thought, no, this is my father. I'm not caring, he's my dad. But then I actually thought about the things I was initially doing, which was cleaning wounds, doing some really unpleasant jobs, including the toiletries. I realised actually this is more than just being a son. These are the type of things that you would get qualified carers to do or qualified nursing staff to do. So I was going way and beyond the responsibilities of what you'd see, inverted commas, normal son doing.
I mean, it sounds awfully stressful, Mike.
Yeah, I would say that all carers have really good days and bad days. I had a particularly bad day yesterday with my father. And that's often about communication. Older people, in my case, I look after an older person, so they can get very set in their ways and have very fixed views on things. And he certainly does. I mean, I know that he loves me, but the relationship can get very, very toxic simply because of the pressure you're both under. So knowing where to go, where to find information, even knowing there's support out there, can really be of benefit. Because the one thing I never had until I found about carers in Southampton was, you know, what do I do? You get really to the end of your tether. You don't think anyone really cares. It's very little money on carers' allowance. It's about £60 a week. I was lucky I was working. But when I looked into actually going full-time to look after my father, I couldn't afford to live on £60 a week. A lot of carers out there do that, and my hat's off to them, because it's a real struggle living on that type of money and taking all those responsibilities. It's not a 9-to-5 job. This is like 24/7.
And like you say, having the likes of Carers for Southampton here, you know, sort of that umbrella organisation as such, I suppose actually, if you're someone sat at home now listening to this, thinking, oh God, it's probably a minefield looking through all the, I don't know, council websites, NHS, stuff like that, you wouldn't really know where to start. So is that why an organisation launching like this is so key?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most important thing about this whole project is that it's recognising two things, one of which is there are people out there who don't realise they're carers like myself, and it's about getting them to access services and support. That's critical. But really, this particular project, why I think it's really good, is because it's bringing services which have been out there before into a tighter loop. And what I mean by that is that you've got a one-stop shop. So if you just don't know where to start, Carers Together will start the ball rolling for you. They'll be able to advise you. If they can't help, it's a bit like the man who can. They can take you to the person who does help you and advise you, so that you're not left straddling. And I think sometimes you feel as though you're getting in the runaround as you're going from organisation to organisation. And I truly believe that with carers in Southampton, where they're going to be successful is really picking up the reins and getting you to the people that you need if they can't help you themselves. And so for me, that was a really important part of this whole project.
I suppose being a carer as well, obviously we understand now that there are thousands here in the city alone, but I must assume that it feels very lonely and that you would feel quite isolated and people need to realise, no, you're not.
I think actually that's the big thing, Charlotte. Being isolated is without doubt the hardest thing. Since I've been back in Southampton, I've been in 9 years, I've lost all my social life completely. I don't see anybody. The only thing I do now is I go to yoga a few hours per week, but as soon as that's over, I'm back home again. And I think the biggest thing for carers is that you are completely and utterly isolated. The great thing about the carers in Southampton resource room is it's got some really comfortable chairs. People can come in and meet each other who have the same circumstance. And one of the things I know the project's going to be going forward with is focus groups to get people to talk about how things can be improved, how things can grow. Because actually, without the carers coming forward and saying what they need, it's very hard to actually know what we can provide them with. And I think, crucially, getting them out of isolation. So, for example, with training, getting them to a really nice place where they can feel as though they're valued. It's not a church hall somewhere and they've got it's cold and it's dusty, but somewhere really nice and comfortable. They can come and do a bit of training if they need training, or if they need to see someone for advocacy, or even simply coming in for a cup of tea, sitting down, seeing what's available, going on the internet and just checking resources all out for free, knowing that you're in a really safe, nurturing environment, helps to break the isolation. And I think that is critical to this project.
Did you ever just think of down in tools and just walking?
I was in that situation yesterday. And this happens periodically. I think carers get to a point where they get so burnt out. But the responsibilities are such, as much as they want to walk away, they know they can't. So they might sort of throw their toys out with the pram. But the thing is, you know you have to come back to that. And you do get periods where you just really are completely at your wit's end. Some people have to go to the doctors and are medicated, and sometimes you really do need to be medicated just to get through the day. But I think if you can find alternatives, like in my case, I work a lot using exercise to manage my stress, to manage my caring responsibilities, that is better for me than perhaps drugs might be for someone else. But every person has to find a coping mechanism which works for them. And sometimes some of the drugs that doctors provide can be really, really good, you know. But that's really for the clinician to take forward. For myself, exercise is my big thing. And without that, I think I would probably ended up quite seriously in a hospital with a mental breakdown. I think the hardest thing for me was acknowledging that I was a carer. And certainly, yes, I mean, the idea of having to ask someone else for help, it almost seemed to emasculate me. I thought, oh, yeah, I'm a man, I should better deal with this. But actually, the pressure of this situation for most people in the caring situation is such that you get so worn out that your capacity to think clearly, and in my case that is very true, you become quite woolly-headed. So you need, I found, and for myself, the need for other people to provide me with that clarity of thought, a direction, if you like, is what I was lacking. So I think carers in Southampton in particular will give me that direction. Even working here, it provides me with an understanding about things I didn't understand before, but also seeing how that information that's been percolated to me can be percolated to others. So for me, there's a dual benefit.